Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon.
It is afternoon there. Also with me today, not quite afternoon where he is, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly.
Now, I'm glad to have both of you here for a couple of reasons. First of all, the first topic we're going to talk about is an article that John wrote that is basically going to be story time for Andrew because he has no idea what most of this stuff is, what it means, why we care. So, John, as people may know, if you've ever heard me on another podcast, I probably talked a bunch about Doctor Who. And I enjoy time travel. And John has engaged in a little theoretical time travel for a piece that he put up yesterday about going back in time and telling previous iterations of Mac user John some things he needs to know. Now, quite honestly, when I did was read the headline of this, John, and the first thing I thought was, if you told me that Apple was going to be the company responsible for my cell phone 10 years, I would still be laughing. So, go ahead and I want to hear what some of the advice was that you gave that you would give yourself though if you could go back. Well,
the number one item, probably it's the most important of the 12, is collect every penny you have, look under the sofa cushions for cash, avoid useless expenditures, and borrow money from your dad, and buy as much Apple stock as you can, and keep buying it. At $2 a share or $5 a share or $17 a share or whatever. Mm-hmm. Beg, borrow, and steal as much cash as you can cobble together and keep buying Apple stock and for the foreseeable future.
When we first
February 1999 here.
When we first heard that it sounded like Steve Jobs might be coming back and that there might be a new computer, because this was before you could hear a lot of this stuff. You know, in any sort of reliable or even, you know, unreliable fashion, there was just sort of this murmuring in the Apple community. And Apple stock was at about $11 a share. And my stepdad had just gotten into the stock market and was starting to, like, ask me about tech stocks. And I was like, look, I know you're going to think I'm telling you this because I have this computer and it makes me really happy, but I really think you should buy Apple stock. Here are the reasons why I think you should. And he basically replied to me more or less saying, I know you're just telling me this because you really like your computer, but thanks for the tip, and did nothing. And so
Apple got into so much trouble.
Yes.
Before Steve Jobs came back, that there was quiet optimism that Apple would do well with Steve's returning, but there was no guarantee of success.
No. But I figured at $11 a share.
Until later. Yeah.
But at $11 a share, I figured, you know, he could maybe buy like 5 and then, you know, I'd be quiet. And if I was right, he would do well. And if not, you know, it's not like he was out some vast amount of money. I thought it would be. But every once in a while, to this day, he will still say to me, I really wish I'd listened to you. Yeah. So do I.
Yeah. I wish I could have bought Apple stocks when I was 7 years old.
I'm sorry, Andrew won't be with us for the rest of the podcast. John and I are going to go holler at him that he's standing on our lawns. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Be quiet, Andrew. It's story time. John, what was another of the items on your list?
Number 6. It's 2000. Do not buy a Power Mac G4 Cube when it comes out in July. It's expensive as heck. Has a finicky power switch. They tried this non-mechanical power switch, which if you breathed on it, turned the computer off. It failed as a product. It was quickly discontinued in the next summer. Mm-hmm. And it was just an all-around miserable product, even though it was cool as heck.
Those Harman Kardon softball speakers, though, they were so nice.
Yeah. It was a very sexy computer, but it's one of Apple's notable failures.
Oh, it was so pretty. And it looked cool, and like to get into it, you just turned it over and popped a little handle out the bottom, and it came out of the case. And it was so neat.
You were operating some sort of nuclear weapon facility, and you were disengaging the actuator. You know,
it was awesome. It was very. What is that? It's a warp core. Oh, okay. You know, like somebody totally would have believed you if you're just like carrying around the insides of it. It was great. And I really did. Honestly, I really did love those speakers. Like, I knew someone who had a Cube and got rid of it and was like, yeah, but I don't know what to do with these speakers. And I'm like, I will give them a good home. And I did give them a good home until I got Harman Kardon sound sticks. and then sadly, the softball small round softball speakers went away in favor of tall, skinny speakers from Harman Kardon. So, yes, I have not once regretted it because the subwoofer makes me really happy. Anyway.
Number nine.
What else do you have?
If you see a working Apple One motherboard for sale, buy it fast.
Again,
for a decade.
Go ransack the couch. All those
sell
things.
It for riches. Yes,
that's a good one. Just as a piece of technology, not even for what it represents or anything, but just as a circuit board to look at, they are really, really interesting. Like, compared to other circuit boards I've looked at, it's not like I look at lots of them, but I've seen a couple of Apple One circuit boards, and they're very interesting as a piece of equipment. Just in being able to see them, they're pretty nifty. So, there are a number of these. I'm going to tell people you should go read the article, because the going back 20 years ago and telling people this stuff, I thought these were really interesting. Very, very interesting tips. If you had like one more, John, that you wanted to highlight on the list, because like I said, there's more of them. So people should definitely go check out the list. But if there was one more that you wanted to sort of highlight, what would it be?
All right. We're in February of 1999. Number 10, there will be this new exciting looking free service called Facebook, launched in 2004. Don't sign up for it. Don't sign up for it ever. Ignore MySpace.
No matter what, you don't need it. No, you don't want it.
Don't sign up for it. Just don't bother.
Yeah. You're allergic.
You'll be happier.
Yeah. Now I'm just imagining like the short film somebody's going to put together of, you know, someone in a time traveling phone booth, like staggering out in 2003 and going, don't listen to Zuckerberg, you know, passing out. Anyway, all right. So we do have a link to that in the show notes. It is a link to the chapter in the show itself. So when you go look at the audio, there will be a link there. And I really enjoyed reading this list. So I hope all of you do too. And let us know what advice you would give February 1999 you. Particularly as an Apple user, and you can do so by leaving us a comment in the show notes. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com, or you can find the show itself at TMO Daily on Twitter. And right now, I want to talk to you about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Capterra. Now, Capterra is a really great resource, because if you're still doing things at work the old-fashioned way, you could be replacing that tool that causes you the most frustration. Simply by going to Capterra, which is a free online resource to help you find the best new solution to do that thing that you're trying to do. Capterra has over 700,000 reviews of different software packages from actual users of the software. So you can find anything you're looking for. There's more than 700 categories to choose from in order to make that informed decision. And this is giant categories like project management or email marketing, down to something really, really specific like construction accounting or even optometry practice management. These are two actual topics that I did find on the site. So no matter what kind of software you need or your business needs, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. You could do this by going to capterra.com/TDO for free. And that's capterra.com/TDO, and you can make 2019 the year for your business. Now, our second sponsor today is Edgewise Connect. So, you know, like if you're in the car and your phone is on Wi-Fi because you have Wi-Fi in the driveway, but not much further than the driveway, and you back out and maybe you're trying to stream music, and as you get out of the driveway, everything gets jittery and weird, or maybe you're at the airport and you're trying to get on airport Wi-Fi and it's failing. Edgewise Connect can help you with that. I actually have that problem in my driveway. Luckily, I don't have that problem at the airport in Portland, but I do have that problem in a lot of places. So Edgewise Connect will swoop in and seamlessly switch you between Wi-Fi and cellular networks. So if you're stuck on a bad hotspot or you have a weird cell antenna problem, this will help keep your voice call connected. It will keep your video streaming from skipping, and it can even make it so that your navigation is working better, particularly as you drive away from your house or if you're in a place where cell reception can get a little weird. And this helps fix slow and non-functional internet connections. Again, one of the things that we're always partial to here is one of the other things they do is protect your online privacy. So we're always into that. And the folks at Edgewise aren't just saving your internet connection. They're also saving owls from extinction because they donate 3% of their revenue to organizations dedicated to owl preservation. So go check them out today at edgewise.app. That's edgewise.app. And protect your internet and protect owls today. Now, John did give us a teeny bit of a spoiler at the end of the first segment of the show, because the other thing that we are going to talk about today, surprise, surprise, is Facebook. There's been a new report. This is partly why we have Andrew on the show with us today, is to talk about Facebook. The latest from Facebook is that Congress wants, in the U.S., our most recent one kerfuffle with Facebook was in the U.K., and now Congress wants to talk to Facebook about closed Facebook groups that people thought they were joining that were private, possibly anonymous. And Facebook says, why would you think that? You know, which is really interesting. So there was a consumer complaint filed with the FTC in December that was made public this week. And it says that information that was posted in closed groups could possibly have been made available to parties, whether it was a company or another individual, who should not have had access. And this includes private medical and medical related information. Things like substance abuse, HIV status, there are a variety of different things that were talked about in some of these closed Facebook groups, because a closed Facebook group is different than a secret Facebook group. And so, right. And so that's where we are. Andrew, remembering that I don't want to have to edit swearing out of the show today, I'd like to ask you your take on this.
Well, see, what I'm wondering is the article says insurance companies may have access to these groups, but how would they unless one, either some members of the companies were in the group and saw this information, or two, they got this information directly because Facebook sold access to it.
Mm-hmm. That was the thing I was wondering, was when it said like Facebook may not have been properly notifying group members that this information could be accessed by health insurance companies and online bullies, among others. Like, now I can see how someone,
like, this Motor article says that the group was infiltrated by rehab marketers.
Now, that's a thing that I could see happening. That would, like, when they talk about individuals, like online bullies, for example, if you want to use that example, right? Anybody can go apply to join a closed Facebook group, and then if they get approved, then they're in and they can see everything. The end. That's how closed groups work. So a person who lies when they try to join a Facebook group and maybe isn't the right person for that Facebook group could take that information and go do whatever they want with it and, you know, be mean to people elsewhere. Like, that's just a thing that could happen. Health insurance companies is a different thing, because it's not like an insurance company is an entity that has a Facebook account, right? They have a Facebook page, or it's a public thing. And so, like Andrew was saying, it's a data issue at that point. How did a health insurance company get access to that information? Like, what exactly was the transaction there? And, you know, I have a hunch it was the same kind of transaction everything is with Facebook, which is the check didn't bounce. Here you go. That's just my theory.
This also reminds me of something I wrote either yesterday or the day before, where some Instagram influencers are selling ads for medicine and medical devices.
Yeah.
All Facebook would have to do is put those ads and put them on the pages of whoever was sharing this medical information. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice little tidy, nasty business.
Yeah. It's certainly efficient.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember seeing that article, and it was something about like somebody that was advertising like breast implants, but like a person. It wasn't the company that makes them that was doing it. It was somebody else that had posted them on their Instagram account. And yeah. And you know, I think I commented on that one, and that, you know, it's one thing.
Oh, that was the one John Key commented on.
Yeah, it's one
thing. Yesterday.
It was yesterday. It's been so long since our last Facebook kerfuffle. Because it's one thing for somebody with a lot of Instagram followers to go, I have this lip gloss, and I tried this lip gloss, and it's great lip gloss, and you should buy this lip gloss. And it's quite another to go, You should go get Botox, or you should go get breast implants, or, you know, like something else that requires a medical professional's intervention. Like, it's one thing if I can go to Walgreens or Sephora or whatever and go buy the lip gloss that person on Instagram had. It's quite another if what you're telling me is I need, you know, go get Botox. Like, okay. You know, mm-hmm. That's a little different process.
It gets worse. It gets worse. What if people were discussing really sensitive issues about their sexuality or depression, mm-hmm. or possible suicide, and then a bully jumps in and says, "Yeah, go ahead." Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So
and
it's even worse.
That's a thing that is currently being litigated in the UK. I think it's being litigated. I would have to confirm that. We had, because Charlotte was talking about it. Instagram and starting to limit exposure, like to self-harm, like groups that are for self-harm and things, because there's a case in the UK right now where a girl died after having gone on Instagram and finding a bunch of self-harm sorts of things, and ended up, I believe she ended up committing suicide as a result of.
Yeah, I think so.
And so they were saying, like, one of the things that influenced this was the ready availability of all of this stuff on Instagram for her to go and find. Mm-hmm. And yes, there's a slippery slope here. And yes, I understand that. But I feel like this is this closed versus private group, and users should have known better. I feel it, again, this is really not a good look for Facebook. Like, let's just get that out of the way. Again, some more.
Gizmodo's take on it. They said that these groups were being infiltrated by rehab marketers. I practice Facebook claimed it was aware of and didn't seem to find deeply disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's so ridiculous. Facebook is letting these people onto their platform while blaming users for the consequences of what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been going on for years. It's remarkable how long it took regulators to wake up and respond to complaints and to notice what was going on, I guess.
Well, you know, I think part of it might be the stance.
Cambridge Analytica just ignited the fuse of the government.
Cambridge Analytica kicked over a barrel of kerosene, I think, if we're going to go down that road.
Gasoline.
And here's the thing about it, though, I think, is that and this is weird, and I'm having a hard time putting it in words. So it's, you know, Facebook is a tech company, and the tech was new, and it never really occurred to people, for the most part, right? It never really occurred to people that you could go, that the company itself would be fundamentally, whatever you want to call it, amoral, corrupt, whatever, right? Because it was new, and we just sort of assumed that it's one of those things where, like, you know, you get superpowers and everybody assumes you're going to use your powers for good, and not everyone does. And so I think that's part of it, is that, you know, we've sort of seen shady stuff from the banking industry. We've seen shady stuff from the auto industry. We've seen shady stuff from, you know, lots and lots of other industries. But the tech industry overall was new enough and recent enough, like, it never occurred to anybody, like, why would you use these powers for ill or for making money at the expense of being decent, I guess, is the best way to describe it. And it's turning out that, like, you know, at literally every turn, I swear, and at some point I'm going to have to declare Facebook free week, and I don't know what we will do for topics on TDO, but when we declare it, we're going to not talk about them, and we're going to have to see what we can come up with to talk about instead of another way that Facebook has given your information to other people. But it's a thing that's really frustrating, and I would imagine if I were in this sort of situation and I were using some closed Facebook group in order to get support for some sort of diagnosis that I have or some sort of condition that I'm trying to get help with and, you know, find a support group for. And, you know, lots of people turn to Facebook for that kind of thing. Because, you know, everybody's on Facebook And
from time to time, I hear about companies that start up a competitor to Facebook with very strict security and privacy guidelines, and they don't go anywhere. It's too late. Facebook has, what, a billion customers? And there's no way to catch up with them except put them out of business.
Well, and that's not going to change until people leave and decide that they can get along without Facebook. And, you know, or if nothing else, at least not give Facebook very much interesting information, you know, and not spend all your time there. Like, that's the only other, like, option that you really have. So that, you know, I can't imagine what it would feel like to have been one of the people who went here and was sharing some sort of very personal private detail that, you know, maybe isn't comfortable to talk about to people, but I can type into Facebook, into this closed group with these other people who have experienced the same thing or are going through the same thing. And then finding out later, you know, through some form or another, whether it's because, like, I get denied health insurance coverage or somebody goes somewhere else on Facebook and starts putting all my private information up, you know, about this thing that I was talking about in this group. And, like, what like, how I would feel if that were me. Like, I can't even imagine how terrible that would be. So I absolutely feel for these people, especially because Facebook's line on this is, it's your own fault you didn't know that a closed group was different from a secret group. That's not on me. Like, I don't get how that's an actual answer. So I'm very interested in who they end up sending, because we know it won't be Zuckerberg, to talk to Congress and see, you know, and find out more about exactly what's happening with this. So I'm very interested in how that's going to change. So, Andrew, do you think it's going to make things any different with Facebook in the short term?
In the short term, no. In the long term, I don't know. Like you said, there's not really much choice. There's not really a lot of competition. I mean, John mentioned all these different apps that come along with that are more secure. But the problem is that Facebook is, at this point, pretty much a monopoly. Mm-hmm. And they actively copied the features from other apps like Snapchat and put them in their own apps to put these companies out of business. So someone needs to intervene, I think.
Right. And it's not like you can go to Twitter. That's not really a viable option if Facebook is the thing you're trying to escape. Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about Twitter more going forward. But like, I have found overall that lots of people have had a much easier time quitting Twitter than they did Facebook. That just seems to be my as a spectator, my take on all of that. So, John, how about you? Do you think, what do you think short term, long term, that this newest one means for Facebook when what we're talking about is people's personal, is people's really personal information? I don't mean just like who you were married to and your birthday and things like that, but like material.
I'm a little bit pessimistic because what I've seen is I've seen all sorts of things go wrong in our culture. I don't want to get into politics, but it seems past there were more immediate penalties and a more stronger public and governmental reaction to offenses and failures in ethics and morality.
Sure.
And nowadays, we've kind of become accustomed to all sorts of bad things and nothing happening. And so I'm feeling a little pessimistic that Facebook's going to be scrutinized for a while and then it's all going to go away and they're going to go back to business as usual. Mm-hmm. And nothing's going to fundamentally change with Facebook except a few tweaks under pressure from occasional inspection by the government, but I'm pessimistic that they're going to be driven out of business or they're going to have to radical change their business model. Yeah.
Well,
it's just going to continue until something comes along to replace it that's better.
I expect that to be true. I hope something happens. I hope that one of these things that comes out about Facebook is going to be the thing that's going to make people go, oh my God.
Oh, the smoking gun.
I really do need to, this is the thing. Like, you know, this is the straw. This is in fact a bridge too far, you know, whatever it is. And maybe it, you know,
but
like
it never happens.
I know.
We always think about the holy.
I said, I hope
a happy outcome and proper regulation and
it seems like,
right, but it never happens.
Here's the thing though, is that it does seem like every time, like there's a few things, like every time something like this happens, a few more people quit Facebook, and every time a few more and a few more and a few more. And I'm waiting for the one that is the big thing that makes people go, I'm out. Never mind. I'm done. Like, I'm going to quit and I'm just going to have to go back to making phone calls like a caveman in order to keep in touch with my family. And whatever that is, like, I don't want there to have to be something on like a fundamental level that causes people to flee Facebook, but that's what it's going to take. Because prior to now, all we've seen is, you know, somebody goes and, you know, they make a statement or they go on a talk show and they just go, gee whiz, we're real sorry about all this. We didn't mean anything by it. And then everything goes back to normal. And I don't know what it's going to take for that to change, but I really hope that it does. And if nothing else,
we need a Ralph Nader-like personality, somebody who takes it upon himself in the government to make it his personal crusade to lock down
to
Facebook.
Let everyone know that Facebook is unsafe at any speed.
Right.
Which makes no sense to Andrew, but that's okay. We'll explain it to him later.
Well, I know who Ralph Nader is. I don't know what his crusade was, though.
Yeah, well, okay, so we'll go give Andrew a history lesson after the show. But in the meantime, I do want to thank both of you for being here. I'm really glad you both made it today. Thank you, Andrew, for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And as always, John, thanks for being here. I appreciated your time travel.
It was nice to be here. And that was a fun article.
And I will talk to all of you tomorrow. I have been your host, Kelly Gamont. And as I said, you can get a hold of us in the show notes at TMO Daily on Twitter or at observations@macobserver.com. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.